Built on a strong foundation of document management, that's Kyocera Document Solutions South Africa. With extensive consulting services and self-developed business applications, your business is assured of total document solutions to suit your needs. By understanding customers' business environments, we aim to solve document management-related issues. For more information, call 011-595-2600 or email info@dza.kyocera.com. Visit www.kyocera.documentsolutions.co.za.
Hello everybody, welcome to another edition of the AfriCast. My name is Brendan Lotz and joining me in studio today is Clinton Matos.
Hello everybody.
And Robin Chetty.
Hey, how's it going?
How are you guys doing this week?
Good, the gang's back together.
Yeah.
Through fire and flames,
everybody's back. Sorry, yeah, literal fire and flames. Right, let's get straight into it. Clinton, you've got news for us about Halo.
Let's talk about Combat Evolved Anniversary. Every time this game pops up, it's got another subtitle. So, out of nowhere, Microsoft is like, hey everybody, remember Combat Evolved Anniversary? We said it was going to be added to the Master Chief Collection at some point. That point is right damn now. So, last night, a few hours ago, they put it live for everybody to buy. It's available on Steam as well as the Microsoft Store. You can buy it as a standalone game, or if you already own the Master Chief Collection, you can just download it immediately. And like a lot of people do, if you have the Xbox Game Pass for PC, you can download it as well. You get it for quote-unquote free because you are paying for the subscription, so it's not really free. It supports 4K and very high frame rates. I don't know if they said the max frame rate it supports, but they said 60+ because that's the standard on PC. There's ultra-wide support. There is variable frame rate support. There is field of view changes, although those two last things are experimental features. And there's new stuff for PC, like 3D model viewer of your Spartan. And you can also toggle between the classic and the new audio. I have not, unfortunately, been able to play it yet. I went to download it last night, and there were just errors everywhere. I don't know if it was high traffic. I don't know if I just got in a bit too early and I was a bit too eager. But it's about 30 gigabytes, and I have it 95% completed, the download, that is. And when I have played it, I'll write more about it on the site.
Cool. Robin.
Yeah, I guess I also have a Microsoft-related story. So this week, Microsoft and SAP formally announced their local version of a global partnership where the two firms are joining to assist enterprises with Azure migration. As you may not know, migration to the cloud is going to be a big feature in 2020. We have two pretty large hyperscalers in the country with Azure, one being one of them and the other one being AWS.
Is AWS here officially?
The data center presence isn't, but they're essentially
from
operating.
From a presence
From a data center perspective, cool. Not yet. But they're essentially operating as a hyperscaler really at the moment.
So that should mean that data center should be around the corner then.
Well, they said early 2020, unless they're going to pull a Microsoft and keep us waiting a few more months.
They're just going to bring it on a boat and plop it on the beach.
Yeah, so this is part of a platform that SAP are calling Embrace. They officially announced it globally in October of last year, and now I guess we're getting the local variant of that. And their first company that they're actually working with is Standard Bank. So,
interesting.
Well, I mean, Microsoft say they've been working with Standard Bank for the past 25 years. So it makes sense for them to kind of leverage their existing relationships for Azure migration. And so if you are looking to go to the cloud and you don't want to go AWS route, Microsoft got an option for you as well.
And SAP, that's very, very cool. Right, sticking with sort of business-related news, Ericsson has announced that its new technology called Ericsson Spectrum Sharing is now commercially available. The very sexy title is also quite descriptive of what it does. This is software that works with existing 5G radios, that allows a network operator to run 4G and 5G on the same network, same band. It boasts a 1 millisecond switchover depending on user demand. So if there are a lot of users that need 5G, then it will push out the 5G technology. And if folks are needing more 4G, then it'll push out over the 4G tech. What would be really interesting to know, and I've actually had a chat with Ericsson's representation here in South Africa, to get a bit more deep dive into this technology, because I think it would be really valuable for a country like South Africa, where spectrum is, what's the best word, scarce. I know President Ramaphosa in his State of the Nation address said that high demand spectrum would be auctioned off before the end of 2020. I'm not holding my breath on that promise, though, as it won't be the first time that promise has been made. It might be really interesting to see how this technology works in places where spectrum may not be as readily available as in places like the UK or the US, for instance. So hopefully we can get more... some more information from Ericsson and not just buy our products. We really want to know what the caveats to this are, because I could see an operator like Vodacom, which has been trying to push the 5G push its 5G launch for quite some time now. I'd like to see if this helps them.
So I'm not technically minded when it comes to telecoms, but if a operator has an existing 4G infrastructure, does that mean they can now leverage this kind of solution?
So absolutely.
So someone that's embattled, say, like Cell C, they could potentially benefit from this.
Well, you see, the problem is that Cell C is shifting away from owning infrastructure and moving towards a place where it is leasing infrastructure, because it's financially makes more sense. So I don't know. They could, with the infrastructure that they do have. I would like to chat to Ericsson a bit more about this, because I think it's a really cool solution, especially as more and more countries are starting to push and release 5G this year. So we'll get more info from them shortly. As I said, I've been in touch with their representation locally, and when we have more information, I'll be sure to share that.
Cool.
Right, Clinton.
Yes.
Moving on to you.
Let's talk about some, in the end, meaningless awards, but we'll talk about them anyway. The BAFTA Game Awards are coming up, and they've released the nominations. So we're not going to go through all of them, because there's 18 categories. So there's quite a lot. As always, everything we talk about will be linked in the description down below the podcast, and you can just click around at your leisure. But we are going to talk about some key categories here, and we're going to just start off with the big one, the best game. So Control, Disco Elysium, Luigi's Mansion 3, Outer Wilds, Sekiro, and Untitled Goose Game. What do we think about all of that? What have we played out of those?
None,
really.
I played Control. I thought that was really good.
So I've played all of them except Disco Elysium and Untitled Goose Game. I know that might be sacrilege. I just haven't had time to play everything. In my opinion, Control is a heavy contender there. Control got a lot of nominations. When we go through a few of the other categories, we'll see them. But I can really see Disco Elysium taking this. A lot of people love that game, both critically and just in the general public. Luigi's Mansion 3 was good, but I don't know if it's worth Game of the Year. It was fun, and I played a lot of it, but not Game of the Year in my mind. Outer Wilds was also good. Sekiro was rock hard, and everybody loves everything that From does. And I really don't know about Untitled Goose Game. It was an indie game with a lot of heart, and it was fun to play. I didn't play through the whole thing, but I played through a tiny bit. But again, I don't know if it's up there with a juggernaut like Control, that did so much new stuff and was impressive on both a technical and an artistic level. So I vote for Control, even though my vote counts for nothing, and other people decide this. But I hope that goes to Control. The other one I really wanted to talk about was audio achievement. So the nominations here are Ape Out, Modern Warfare, Control again, Death Stranding, Fallen Order, and again, Untitled Goose Game. So the reason I want to bring this one up is because of Ape Out. It was a game by Devolver Digital, and I think I'm also the only one who played that year. So Ape Out was a game about you taking control of a gorilla, and you are in some kind of... I don't know what you'd call it, a government facility, a lab, and they're doing some kind of experiment on you, and you need to escape. And that had something called an adaptive music system where there was a lot of funky jazz and drums, and the game would change depending on what you did. So if you're going through a really hectic fight, the music would get intense, and then as you trailed off, it would go down, and would ebb and flow in like that, and it wasn't scripted. It changes according to what you do. So I really think Ape Out should take that one. Again, you guys, Control's the only one. Didn't one of you say you played Fallen Order?
Death Stranding, I played.
Oh, okay. No. How was the music in that? Because I did.
The soundtrack was quite nice. I don't know if it was. It's worthy of getting an award.
Yeah.
So, it wasn't like anything groundbreaking in that regard.
Yeah, that's coming to PC, so maybe I'll pick that up there.
Yeah, I would say just wait for the price to drop on that one.
So another one I also want to talk about is British game. So for those who don't know, BAFTAs are about, they're a British institution, so they have a section just for British games. And for there is Dirt Rally 2, Heaven's Vault, Knights and Bikes, Observation, Planet Zoo, and Total War 3 Kingdoms. This is probably the category I've played least of. I think the
Hang on. Is there a US category, a Japanese category, African category?
Brendan is making a thinly veiled comment on the Oscars, I think, about... are you?
No.
Is that what you're doing?
No, okay, I'm not. It's just like, it's like, why must there be a specific...
BAFTAs are British.
Yeah, but I don't sit down and go, oh, well, you know what? I'm going to play only British games.
But I mean, the actual BAFTAs for movie and television also acknowledge British...
I thought Brendan was making a reference to the Oscars where Parasite won and people were irritated because of
People that are irritated by Parasite winning.
Yeah, actually, go watch it first.
Yeah, then you can come and talk to me about, hey, it's a foreign film.
So the only game I've played here is Planet Zoo, and it's really good, but I can't really talk more
about
it.
Is that the Zoo Tycoon one?
Yes.
Okay.
It is a Zoo Tycoon type game, but I don't know if it's made by... Anyway.
No, it's not the same
people. That's the only one I've played out of those. I don't know about this category. I don't know if you guys have played any of those. It's I would say Planet Zoo because I haven't touched the other ones.
Well, I wanted to ask you guys, do you think 2019 was a particularly strong year for gaming?
Yeah, I definitely do.
Oh, we have some mixed opinions.
I think yes and no. It really depends on like what... Say, like, the beginning of the year was very disappointing.
Well, I guess I'm asking, I guess, from a AAA perspective. I'm not just...
So what did we have? We had Anthem. We had Fallout's Premium Pass.
Death Stranding.
On those two things, I'm saying no.
Death Stranding right at the end. Pokemon also right at the end. Apex Legends, Sekiro, Death Stranding, Resident Evil 2, Outer Wilds, Star Wars, Fire Emblem, Devil May Cry, Modern Warfare, Outer Worlds... Flipping out Outer Wilds and Outer Worlds, always getting confused. Untitled Goose Game, Metro Exodus. I can go on for a while. Borderlands 3. I mean,
there were some good games.
I think there were a lot of good games. And when I wrote the story, I was reading through the nominations. And I was thinking, you know what? Last year was pretty good. I think this year is lining up to be like a knocked out of the park. Amazing 10 out of 10. But I think last year was really good. So I won't be too much longer in the BAFTAs. I just want to talk about one or two more categories before we go on to the next part of the podcast. This one's really interesting. Evolving game. So this isn't necessarily about games released in 2019. It's more about games that are still being worked on. And the nominations here are Apex Legends, Destiny 2, Final Fantasy, Shadowbringers, Fortnite, No Man's Sky, and Path of Exile.
Yeah, I have a problem with that category.
Wasn't Apex released last year?
It was.
So how can you say it's the best ongoing game when it's not even a year old?
Well, that's what I just said. This isn't about when it's released. It's about the work that's still being done on the game.
This sounds to me like, let's see what's really popular. And let's give them awards.
I don't think so. Because
I bet like someone like Fortnite would win.
Like Path of Exile and Final Fantasy are on here.
Yeah, that's fine.
So the reason I bring it up is because all of these are like online focused games, except No Man's Sky, which launched as not a multiplayer game, even though they said it was. But the reason I bring up this category is that I think No Man's Sky should walk away with this because that's had a meteoric rise in coming back from being a disappointment, to put it mildly. The work that Hello Games has done on it is really impressive. And again, for it not originally being a multiplayer game, It's impressive how much work they've done. Like those other games, if they don't update them, they'll die because they're multiplayer. But for No Man's Sky to be included here is really nice. And I really recommend the Internet Historian. It's about a 55-minute documentary about No Man's Sky, because that game and the people who made it were kind of vilified for the state that the game launched in, but then they put their heads down and they really fixed it. So,
and it offers a really different perspective compared to the outrage that followed shortly after the release of No Man's Sky. But I do agree, I think that game should take it. Apex Legends is a year old. It doesn't deserve anything at this point in time.
I want Titanfall 3.
I mean, I get that people enjoy the game, just best ongoing game after a year? Come on, man. Come on. You haven't even been around for a year yet. Just chill, relax.
Well, I mean, most award shows are about games that have only been around. But again, this is a different category because it's about evolving games.
Yeah.
Okay, so the last category I want to talk about, and again, there's 18 categories, so we're not going to get through them all. The last one I want to talk about is technical achievement. So the nominations here are A Plague Tale, Modern Warfare, Control, Death Stranding, Metro Exodus, and Sekiro. Now, out of those, I'm thinking, which of those had technical achievement? Modern Warfare?
What does that mean, what technical achievement?
I mean, that's what we're going to talk about. Yeah. Control did, because it really did a lot with the ray tracing tech, and it did a lot with destructible environments and just detail of the environment. And I think Death Stranding is kind of in the same box, sure, where it had a lot of just stuff in it. It was a huge world filled with a lot of detail. I don't really... Metro Exodus, I didn't play that, to be fair, but I don't... I did follow its development, and I don't know what it did to warrant a technical achievement.
Wasn't it one of the first games to have ray tracing?
Maybe.
I think it might have been that.
And then Sekiro, maybe in like a...
Not having to dodge.
Yeah. Parry. And again, it might be my bias, but I think Control should walk away from that. Out of those games, that was the game I played where... It stuck in my mind for the new stuff it did. And again, it is just a remix of things. I mean, the whole setting is kind of based on SCP. I mean, who said that about fiction, where it's just a big pot and you take some out and you put more in?
Yeah.
I think it was George R. R. Martin. You can say that for all video games, but I think Control should get technical achievement.
I think if we're being honest, the game that'll walk away with it is Death Stranding, just because it's Kojima.
Yeah, Death Stranding, actually, if you go onto this page and you Control F Death Stranding, it got nominated in a lot of categories that we didn't talk about here. I think it's going to walk away with a lot of stuff. I hope Control takes a lot, because I really like that game. But yeah, I won't babble on any more about this. So those are the BAFTA nominations. Again, go read them and let us know what you think should win. And in April, they'll have the big award ceremony, and we'll know what actually walks away with it.
Cool. From slightly positive and maybe enraging news to news that's a bit scarier. We're talking about the coronavirus disease, or COVID-19. We are not doctors. I'm going to start this off by saying that we are not doctors. We are not going to be talking about the disease at all. We're not having a medical discussion about the disease. We are just going to be talking about the effect that the virus has had on the tech world. And I think the first place that we start is the cancelled Mobile World Congress in Barcelona. So that was supposed to happen 2 weeks ago. Is it 2 weeks ago? Or last week?
End of Feb.
Yeah, it was supposed to be last week. It was supposed to be last week. And the organizers, GSMA, on the 13th of February... announced that they had cancelled the event because of the coronavirus spread, or COVID-19. Let's just call it COVID-19, because that's the technical term that everybody is using. Ahead of that, though, there were a number of high-profile brands that pulled out of MWC 2019, including the likes of Nokia, Google...
Ericsson.
There were a number of high-profile brands that had pulled out, and the show floor was looking really, really empty before GSMA made the decision to cancel MWC 2019.
Yeah, we talked about it on a podcast, and we said, should they cancel it? And then a few days later...
They did. So shortly after that, the next event that was cancelled was Facebook's developer conference, F8. So that conference is where Facebook brings all its developers together. It also talks about plans for the next year, improvements to Facebook apps.
And Zuckerberg says he's sorry.
Yeah, he gets on stage and tells us about his dream for the year and his dream for Facebook and all of that stuff.
Sorry, I don't want to go on a tangent, but I love seeing Zuckerberg every time he's in public because it just proves that you can have billions of dollars and you can still just be a weird a weird guy.
Socially awkward dude.
Yeah, sorry.
So Facebook has cancelled the in-person portion of its developer conference. So they will still seemingly stream the keynotes that Zuckerberg usually gives, and then obviously possibly stream other keynotes that happen throughout the day. But yeah, so that was the next one to go. Shortly after that, the Game Developers Conference, which was scheduled to take place later this month, was canceled as well. They didn't name COVID-19 directly for the reason behind canceling the, or they didn't cancel, rather they postponed. There's no new date as yet, but they said that they are looking at hosting it a bit later this year, ahead of their postponement.
When the weather's better. just say it's COVID-19.
When COVID-19 is gone.
I mean, people have said that when it gets warmer in some parts of the world, the disease will retreat. So, I mean, you're making a joke,
I heard somebody say that. His name was... he's a president somewhere.
Stop making jokes, friends.
Donald Trump.
See, the thing is, it might go away, but then it's going to come back.
Well, I mean, it's going away in April, he said, because of the warmer weather.
When it gets cold.
It just goes on vacation.
Ahead of GDC being cancelled, EA, Kojima Productions, Unity, Microsoft, Epic Games, Amazon, and Activision Blizzard all cancelled their appearance at the conference. As of right now, we don't know when that has been changed to, but yeah. Definitely something worth considering. Then just this week, Facebook and Twitter cancelled their appearances at South by Southwest, which is interestingly still going ahead as planned.
For now.
For now, that might change. It's happening from the 13th to the 22nd of March, so that's next week and some change. I don't know. So basically what happened was Twitter decided that they were going to put a stop on all non-essential business travel. And that seemingly includes South by Southwest, as CEO Jack Dorsey will not be attending to give his keynote address South by Southwest. Facebook also implemented a similar sort of policy for non-essential travel for employees. So they also will not be at South by Southwest this year. And I think the most recent one now is that Google has canceled its I/O developer conference as well. Place where Google usually talks about Android improvements to its hardware, additional features coming to Google and Android. That's no longer happening.
I found that one quite interesting because that's happening in May. That's quite...
Yeah, it's quite far away.
Quite far away, so...
It's pretty bad at the moment. But on the same token, there are still a number of events that are happening. You know, I've seen PAX is still going on... like there are still launch events happening. I mean, we saw Samsung launch its smartphone in New York the other day. There still seems to be events happening. It seems really weird. It's like the high profile brands don't want to be seen as putting their employees in danger, maybe. I don't know. But it's very clear that folks are scared of this virus and catching this virus.
Well, I think you're going to see a lot more live stream press conferences now.
Yeah, which is great for us here, in South Africa, which often gets forgotten about. For us, it's really cool that we now get to attend these conferences at the same time as everybody else.
You know, it'd be interesting if we talk to somebody. I wonder how much CO2 was not released into the atmosphere due to a lack of plane trips.
Yeah, so actually, Dion, who's a guest...
Yeah.
Guest spotted on our podcast before. He actually looked at the emissions from factories in China as a result of the coronavirus and some of those factories stopping production. And the air quality actually improved as a result. So,
well, how did he look at it? Because I assume he didn't go there with a little air testing kit.
No. It was like, I think it was NASA. I think it was official.
There's data on that sort of stuff. I mean, I think Uber also keeps that sort of thing as part of its data collection thing. It's very interesting to see how companies have kind of reacted to this. just to give folks a bit of a sit rep regarding COVID-19, this is directly from the World Health Organization. We'll include a link to the bottom of this post where you can go and find situation reports for COVID-19 directly from WHO. They update them every single day. I would advise that you use this as the main source for your information.
Listen to your aunt on Facebook.
Your aunt on Facebook that tells you that if you eat fish paste spread on rye bread from the west to the east, you'll be fine. World Health Organization, I think, is one of the more reputable resources. Don't use it as your only resource, obviously. Do your research. But so far, there have been 90,870 confirmed cases of COVID-19. This is of the 3rd of March. And there have been 2,946 deaths in China, 31 over the last 24 hours of this report, and 166 deaths worldwide. The risk assessment from the World Health Organization is very high across the world. Now, I've been following this since beginning of February, following these situation reports. It's been high at a global level, high at a regional level, and at China it's always been very high. But now it's gone to very high all around the world.
Is very high the top?
I don't think
whatever
it is.
Scale they're using?
I'm not sure what the top of the scale is, but it is definitely a cause for concern. We've seen Sharp, the people that make TVs, converting one of their factories to be able to make surgical masks for people, because factories that make these masks simply can't keep up with demand. And I actually think that that's a really clever idea, because those factories are super clean. What better place to manufacture clean masks for people?
Yeah, and they're not doing it just for fun. They're probably going to make bank.
Obviously.
Because masks and sanitizers worldwide have been price gouged. A lot of people are saying that, but it's just supply and demand, right?
Yeah.
There's a hell of a lot of demand, and there's reduced supply because, like you said, the factories are closed.
I just also want to kind of pass along some advice that I've heard from several doctors, is wash your hands a lot. Every time you deal with people, don't shake hands either.
And don't just run your hands over cold water.
Like, wash
use
them.
Use soap.
I heard somebody say that if you sing Happy Birthday twice, just a happy birthday to you, happy birthday. If you sing that twice while washing your hands, that's good enough.
So 20 seconds, right?
Yeah, 20 seconds. Find something that's 20 seconds long and use
that as
your gauge. Let's not spread this disease. Yeah. But there's been a couple of really interesting analysis pieces that have come up regarding this. But yeah, just make sure that you're getting your information from a reliable source, especially regarding the disease itself. Don't just take anybody's word for it, because that's where things become very, very messy.
Especially Trump's.
Yeah, let's not listen to Trump. Let's not even mention him, because I don't want to be called out for being fake news and told that words I say are a hoax.
I would. We could probably get more hits.
Probably.
Engagement, Brendan.
Probably could.
Don't you know the YouTube mantra? You always put one wrong thing in your videos so you get comments.
Is that why they
do
that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Whenever you see an error on our site, it's actually an intentional error.
You speak to us. Right. Robin, you had an interesting interview.
Yes. So I guess my contributions to the podcast have been around migration and digital transformation, those kind of things. So I got a chance to chat to Nancy Mayer, who is the Business Development Director at Kyocera Document Solutions South Africa. I know it's quite a mouthful.
It is a mouthful.
Yeah, but she obviously holds a very important position at the company. So we got a chance to talk about digital transformation as it pertains to government agencies. As we mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, we have two big hyperscalers in the country, so a lot of more companies are going to be taking their digital journeys, and the same extends to government.
Yeah.
So we kind of chatted about that. We also spoke about our telecommunications minister, her comments regarding CETA, and kind of their digital transformation as well, and kind of what role digitizing will play for government moving forward. So yeah, it was quite a
It seems very interesting, and I can't wait to hear it. Let's jump straight into that.
No matter what document management challenges the customer might face, Kyocera Document Solutions South Africa has the answers. By putting our knowledge and expertise to work, our clients can capture, organize, and share information securely through the combination of an award-winning range of device technology and business software. Constant exploration of new ways to use data to drive innovation ensures competitive advantage within the business. Call 011-595-2600, email info@dza.kyocera.com, or visit www.kyocera.documentsolutions.co.za for more information.
Hi, this is Romney Chetty reporting for Hypertex, and joining me today is Nancy Mayer. Nancy is the Business Development Director here at Kyocera Document Solutions South Africa. And today we're discussing government agencies, and in particular, we're discussing the digital transformation that's happening across the country. It's a subject matter which is going to become of increasing importance in 2020. We obviously have two hyperscale organizations in the country in the form of Microsoft Azure and AWS with their own cloud offerings. So we're going to see a lot more conversations around digital transformation and in terms of what kind of journeys companies will be making for their migrations or whatever other needs they might have. So first of all, Nancy, thanks for joining us as always.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes, this is our second time chatting. The first time around was around 4IR. So the conversation now is shifting towards government agencies and what they need to do in terms of their digital transformation, because like we mentioned, it's something that enterprises are thinking about, but now it's becoming into the conversation in terms of how government moves forward. So I guess our first question will focus really around the statement made by our telecommunications minister on the second last day of 2019 with regards to CETA. Now, her proposal was to actually repurpose a digital agency. I wanted to find out your kind of view on the subject. Do you think that is a wise move?
It's definitely a step in the right direction. Every time we have a 10-point plan on how to proceed, I think step number one has to be to allocate resources to look into it. So now that we know who we have allocated resources towards digital transformation, someone is mandated to assist government, and more importantly, that we have metrics in place to measure progress, we can start to see some action.
Sure. And I guess taking the cynical view, when government proposes plans, a lot of the time things get mired in, it could be bureaucracy or any kind of those kind of elements. I wanted to find out, do you think a digital transformation strategy is possible to actually carry out?
Digital transformation strategy is actually written around governments, because you can break it down in such small steps and start so easy that you don't have to have massive investment into it. And you can start somewhere and grow into the bigger picture. So in an environment where you have challenges like getting derailed, this is definitely one of the ways that you can approach it, because every step counts towards the 10 steps.
Now, digitization, we've obviously, there's been a lot of talk around how it helps enterprises in terms of being more agile, more secure, more cloud-ready, kind of preparing for the future. Would those same kind of points apply to government? How would digitization actually help them?
If you think about government, you need to think about who the customer is. The customer is me and you. We're mm-hmm. the citizens that benefit. So, of course, we will have significant cost reductions in how they approach services. There'll be service benefits in that it will be streamlined and they can serve us better. We will have data which we can analyze and make more informed decisions on how those services are leveled out. I think there's only benefit to see in this.
In terms of those kind of challenges that are facing government at the moment, what kind of solution should they be looking at when it comes to digital transformation?
The solution should be objective-driven. So we should think about what we want to see happen in our communities. We want governments that are transparent. We want access to information. We want to receive services that are efficient at significantly reduced costs. That aids us. We don't want people to guess and put structures in place around guesswork. We want to make informed decisions so that when we are supporting our citizens, we're not doing guesswork, we're not wasting resources. So if we approach it from an objective point of view, those are the kind of solutions that address that kind of pain point is what we would look at.
Those sound like a lot of the kind of solutions that an enterprise would look for. So do you think an enterprise mindset is really going to benefit government when it comes to digital transformation?
The customer stays the same. Mm-hmm. The customer has pain points, and the approach is that you need to solve the pain point of the customer. Whether the customer pays you through taxes or they pay you by getting the product off the supermarket shelf, there is no change in approach. The customer wants the same things. They want increased transparency. Even when we buy our own food, we want to know where it's coming from. We want to follow that chain. It's not different in government. It's just that the dynamics changes in terms of what information we want to access. But at a simplistic level, we remain customers.
Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of kind of Kyocera's role in all of this, are you actually having conversations with government with regards to digital transformation? And what are those kind of conversations yielding if you are having them?
We're definitely active citizens, so we will have communications with government. And I think our approach has been, we live actively in this community. We understand the community's needs, which is employing software and systems to have efficiencies. It's also looking at the pain point and addressing those pain points. We want our information to be secure, compliant, and efficient. We want to reduce costs. So we're having conversations as citizens. But more than that, we're having conversations about our own experiences with those products and services. We're looking at it from the path that we've walked and offering government support in terms of looking at not only automation, but the process of that automation. We always joke at my company and we say, you can automate something quicker, it will just happen badly quicker. But you can also look at the process behind the automation. And I think that's where we really have good experience to assist government.
That's good to hear. Is there perhaps anything you can tease in terms of any projects you might be having at the moment?
We are very product agnostic. Mm-hmm. So what we say is, if you already have a content management tool, let's have a look at how we can improve your business process. If you don't already have one, we have various products that look at workflow, records management, document imaging, business process and automation. So we're very, very flexible in terms of getting all those products to interact. Again, going back to meeting objectives.
Sure. Now, we've spoken a bit about CETA in terms of, and that makes sense when you're talking about digital transformation. But how does that extend to other areas of the government? What kind of value does that hold in terms of digitizing? How do you make that argument for them?
The argument is we need to see the service to the citizen more holistically, and it needs to be better coordinated, especially when it runs across departments. Mm-hmm. I think that is where there can be a lot of benefit. Of course, there is quick wins like reducing redundant tasks, having better workflows. But I think where we can really benefit is those cross-jurisdictional and cross-agency collaborations.
Mm-hmm. And I guess, unfortunately, this kind of falls outside of what today's conversation is about, but I was perhaps wanting to get your take in terms of the budget and more recently today, the announcement that from Stats South Africa that we're essentially in a recession. I wanted to perhaps get your feeling for how digital transformation could tackle those kind of larger problems. Is there a role that digital transformation can play?
As a community, I think when we enter recession, it's definitely, as controversial as it might sound, it's definitely an opportunity. Mm. It's an opportunity to look at how we're spending the little money that we have. So in that way, I think definitely it will be very good because we need to look at staff productivity. How are we utilizing our resources? We need to look at how we share and collaborate with information so that we use it to the benefit of the choices that we make and how we plan to roll out different solutions.
Sure.
We can look at mobile access and the ability to serve wherever you are. So that sort of benefit.
Sure. Looking at kind of Kyocera's role, just in terms of the other benefits and kind of key areas and opportunities that might be able to be addressed by government, can you expand a bit more in terms of how Kyocera views opportunities and areas that government can actually address through digital transformation?
So government definitely would look at staff productivity. Mm-hmm. So it's not about cutting the number of employees. It's actually about utilizing the employees to the benefit of the objective that you're trying to meet. And that would definitely be a big plus for government. The data itself, if it can be mined, it can promote research, it can promote how we make decisions. So that would definitely be a big plus. We can reduce the number of systems. Systems do cost money, and by reducing the number of systems, we can cut costs. Mm. If we simplify the workflows, share the information, we can also eliminate redundant tasks and duplications, and overall just creating an environment of better coordination.
Yeah. So if a government agency is looking to kind of start their digital journey, outside of first contacting, say, a Kyocera, for example, what is like the first step they need to take in terms of assessing their need for digitization?
I think it's understanding that it's a journey and creating that path of the journey, creating metrics to measure that you're on the right path in that journey, and celebrating the quick wins.
Sure. One final thing I wanted to ask was just with regards to digital transformation, there is also a lot of pushback just in terms of companies are doing it just for the sake of it. To that argument, what would you say in terms of digital transformation? Is it an imperative now?
It brings in another topic which must marry digital transformation, and that's change management.
Sure.
We need to look at where the resistance is coming from, listen to the resistance and engage the resistance so that we can transform people from understanding that change is necessary to embracing the change to the point of adopting the change.
Right. That's great. So is perhaps anything else you'd like to end with just with regards to digital transformation or what KSA views it?
It looks complicated, but it actually isn't. Once you break it down into little pieces, you can path out the journey. There is quick wins at every corner that you turn on this journey, and I would definitely recommend it.
That's great to hear. So we will link to Kyocera's website, also a couple of stories with regards to transformation. And yeah, we'd like to thank again, Nancy, for taking your time to chat with us. Always appreciate it. And yeah, that'll do it for this segment of the podcast. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Cool. That was very, very interesting. Nancy Meyer.
Yeah.
Why do I want to say Meyer? That's the English boy in me. Nancy Meyer from Kyocera Document Solutions, South Africa.
Yeah.
Hey, did I get it right?
Right. Yes. Hey.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do us for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will be back again next week. From myself, Brendan Lotz, cheerio from Clinton Matos.
Bye, everybody.
And from Robin Chetty.
Yeah, wash your hands, man.
Wash your hands. Goodbye.
Optimize your business efficiency and streamline your workflows with Kyocera Document Solutions South Africa. Get all the rewards with brilliant benefits such as complete cost transparency and savings of up to 30%, increased productivity and employee motivation, professional and customized document solutions that saves you manpower, improved environmental and sustainability management, and improved monitoring and protection of data and documents. For more information, call 011-595-2600 or visit www.kyocera-documentsolutions.co.za.
Sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.